Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. I failed to mention that this is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, or you can email questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. We can take questions live or off air. We have Judy Ann to take those calls and bring us your questions if you're not comfortable talking live on air. So again, we are talking about something very interesting tonight, and I want to give a tiny bit of background on this. Rod Young and I were doing a show, gosh, it's probably been a few months now, and we were talking about different, you know, crazy stories, things that have happened in our practices and different financial planning opportunities. And Rod shared a story where he had a client who installed a geothermal system, paid maybe $45,000 for it, and qualified for a 30% credit. I think it ended up being like a $15,000 credit. And here the taxpayer had no other taxable income. So Rod quick got in order and thought, what can we do to put income on the return, and did a conversion of an IRA to Roth so they could get the full benefit of that tax credit. Well, we had a listener call in and talk to us about renewable energy and all the opportunities that are afforded folks who choose to invest in it. And that guest or that listener was Paul North. So we're going to introduce him in a minute. So I want to start off, though, by introducing our first guest. And she is Dr. Vera Cole. Dr. Cole serves as the program officer for the Energy and Sustainability Policy Degree Program at Penn State and is president of the Mid-Atlantic Renewable Energy Association, known as MEREA. She has her BS in mechanical engineering from NY Institute of Technology, her MS in industrial engineering from Arizona State, and her PhD in information science and technology from Drexel University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cole.
Hi, Lori. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming. I'm grateful that Paul brought you all together because this is a great subject. So tell me why you are passionate about this.
Well, solar energy is an abundant, free resource that's available, widely available to everyone, just about everywhere. It's not something you have to dig for or argue over. It's just there for the taking. And as we learn more about the damages and the long-term effects of our use of fossil fuels, we need alternative ways of meeting our energy needs. I would suggest the best way is energy efficiency. And after that, I would suggest that solar is one of the very best. And so it's an exciting and interesting area to work in.
Wonderful. I'm glad to have you here. So we're going to talk more about this subject as we go through. We also have with us this evening Paula Marie North. Paul is a WDIY member, a 1975 graduate of Lafayette College with a Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering and a strong minor in economics. So he knows the economics of what he does. He is a licensed professional engineer in Pennsylvania for over 30 years with extensive experience in construction. Together with his wife, Marie, they manage the design and building of their energy efficient house in 2008. It has geothermal heating and cooling, and this past spring they added solar electric panels and a battery backup system. Paul, you're a listener of the show and had called in about your experience, and so that's one of the reasons you're here tonight. It was a great topic. You helped pull it all together, so I'm really happy. What makes you so passionate about getting the benefits of renewable energy out there?
As an engineer, I'm naturally interested in the economic benefits of maximizing efficiency and minimizing costs of anything, as well as making the best and most appropriate use of our natural resources. There's no benefit to paying more than you have to for the energy you need. BP Solar Division used to have a slogan, quote, "Money doesn't grow on trees, it comes from the sky," close quote. Plenty of energy is easily obtained from the environment at low cost and with minimal adverse effects when you know how. Plus, the national security considerations and keeping more of our money here in the U.S. It's easier to do and more accessible than people think. They just need the information, and it's kind of a payback thing. People shared information with us, and we've always looked forward to sharing it back.
I am excited, and I think that we do have people interested in it, because right before I came to the show, I mentioned to a couple of people that we were doing a show on this, and both said almost simultaneously, oh, my husband wanted to do solar panels, and the other person said, I wanted to put solar panels on my house. So I hope we can talk about that. We also have Marie North, a CSBA, which is a Certified Sustainable Building Advisor, serving the greater Lehigh Valley area of eastern Pennsylvania. She provides consulting, education, and outreach services to homeowners and businesses in the surrounding community. Maria, are you finding more people interested in renewable energy and using it?
I find that people are curious. They drive around the Lehigh Valley. They see more and more buildings with PVs, photovoltaic solar panels on the roofs or in properties,
right.
So what they call solar farms. So they're curious. The most common questions I hear are, can it really save on my electric bills? And when we get into talking about geothermal, the most common questions we hear are, does it really work? Is your house warm? The answer to both is yes. We all benefit from the power of the sun every day. I just don't think we're aware of it anymore. Ancient cultures knew this. The cliff dwellers in particular, they faced their homes toward the south to take advantage of the sun's heat. The technology has evolved tremendously since then, but it still all goes back to the sun.
Okay.
And it's there. It's for our taking.
Okay, and I hope I don't have to point my house to the south, because my house points east,
right,
and west. So I'm sure that's why the technology, with its advancements, it doesn't matter where our house is pointing, we can still utilize these. So folks, we're coming up on our first break. That was a big introduction to the panel that's here, the expertise that's here tonight. So if you've ever thought about using solar panels, geothermal systems, tonight would be a great night to call, because we have a great group of people here to answer those questions and actually tell their own testimonials, because they themselves are using these systems as well. So when we come back, we'll take any calls or questions that you have. We'll continue discussing renewable energy. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Dr. Vera Cole, Paul North and Marie North, and we are talking about renewable energy. And if you have questions about using some type of renewable energy, in particular, we're talking about solar tools, solar panels, and geothermal tonight, but there are other resources available as well. If you have questions about any of that, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call live with questions on air or talk off air. Give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So again, that's 610-758-8810. Dr. Cole had mentioned that, you know, the best way to start with more energy efficiency is just being more energy efficient and probably implementing certain things even in your home. But Paul, let's first talk about awareness from a consumer's perspective as to what most individuals have readily available at the most basic level to embracing and becoming aware of more advanced methods of being more energy efficient. So let's say someone just, you know, they're not ready to do solar panels, they're not ready to do geothermal, just being energy efficient.
Any installation or any user, and the experts are unanimous on this, the first thing to look at is insulation, weather stripping. It's an essential component and your best first step because it usually has relatively low costs and a rapid payback. Sometimes may include like replacement windows and doors too. You get the benefits immediately by lowering the energy costs, and then there are sometimes additional tax incentives for that, as well as for installing the solar and geothermal equipment. Related to that would be like an energy audit. There are, you know, people that specialize in that and for things that are beyond the ability of the average homeowner, maybe for a more sophisticated look and recommendations. And that is essential and important because very often doing the insulation and weather stripping reduces the size of the geothermal or the alternative energy system that you need. And even if you're staying with a traditional fossil fuel source of some kind, it can reduce the amount of that that you use. So that's almost a no-brainer. That's the first thing you want to do. Insulation, weather stripping, energy audit.
Okay. I know I also, my husband put like a timer on our thermostat, and that helped quite a bit as well. When we're gone during the day, it drops, you know, to much cooler temperatures in the winter, and in the summer we keep it much warmer. So that's another way probably to start some of that. Dr. Cole, what have you seen as the evolution of renewable energy for businesses and consumers, and have the tax incentives helped? So meaning the evolution, are you seeing more and more individuals and businesses embracing this? And Marie could probably respond to that as well.
But. Oh, certainly. And that's driven by many things over the years. We have, in Pennsylvania, we have good policy supporting distributed generation. And key to that is net metering, our net metering policy, which is the rules for how small systems can interact with the utility grid. And so we have good policies and rules in place for how those interconnections can be made. We also have renewable portfolio standards in Pennsylvania, and that drives a demand for renewable energy credits, or RECs, or SRECs, as somebody know them, and that also helps to monetize or incentivize solar. In addition to that, we've recently had a rebate program in Pennsylvania that just ended last year. And there's also federal tax credits in place, both personal tax and corporate tax credits. I'd like to comment on that, on the Pennsylvania rebate program. The organization I'm with, MAREA, that you mentioned earlier, completed a study this year where we looked at the data from of all the systems that were installed under the rebate program. And it turns out that at the beginning of that program, incentives were actually very high. And people may think now that, oh, I missed the moment because I missed those early rebates. But what's actually happened is the price of solar has dropped so much that you're better buying a system now than you were back when the rebates were very high, when the state rebates are high. The end cost to the user and consumer is lower now than it was during the high rebate program.
So it's the solar systems that cost less now?
Yes.
And that's because what? There are more manufacturers on the...
Right. The cost of the components themselves have fallen a lot over the years. The whole industry has improved in many aspects, and the end result has been... it's also volume, you know, and supply chain maturity. But now the price is far less than it was a few years ago.
Okay. So you were talking about a state program that was available that was an incentive that ended last year, but we still have the federal credits, which you mentioned.
That's right. It's a 30% credit for corporate and personal tax credit. But as you mentioned earlier, it's a tax credit. So you have to at least owe that much in taxes before you can take advantage of it. But it does roll over for a number of years.
Okay. All right. And Marie, what about with what you do? Because I know you do some consulting with this. Have you seen an evolution of renewable energy for businesses and consumers as well? And have you seen that the tax credits are part of that incentive? Or do you feel like, you know, I guess one of the things I'm wondering is it just people who are environmentally friendly who are doing this? Or are we seeing people doing it really for the financial paybacks as well?
I think my opinion would be is that a lot of people, when the incentives were there, especially the Pennsylvania rebate program, there was a big surge to, you know, I'm getting all of this money back from the state in addition to the federal tax credit, so I'm going to really go for this. And now people are kind of sitting back and thinking about it because they're not getting that rebate from the state and asking perhaps more questions. Is it still going to be worthwhile for me? And I agree with what Vera said, that now, as the prices come down, now is a good time. It's a good time because of the savings in general. It's a good time to investigate solar and have someone come out, take a look at your property, evaluate your site, and give you feedback as to whether it will be a good idea for your particular site, because site plays a role as well.
Okay, so let's talk about solar power then, since we're kind of leaning that way. Who does it make sense to investigate in this? I mean,
probably a good starting point is a real quick rundown about how the systems operate. So they begin with solar modules that are solar panels, as we've talked about, which are installed on a roof or in the yard, ground-mounted systems. And when they need to be put somewhere that is unshaded and south-facing. And then when the sun hits these modules, they generate electricity. It's just a natural property of photovoltaic materials. So they generate electricity that's in the form of direct current, or DC. And that energy is carried through wires to a component that's called an inverter that changes it from DC to AC, or alternating current, which is the same as what we would use typically from the grid. And that electricity then, again, is carried to wires to our electrical panel in the house that services all your loads. So, and then from there, it's also available, that panel is already tied into the electrical grid. So when your solar panels are generating electricity on a pretty sunny day, that energy comes in to your panel, and then it services whatever you're running around your house. It is running your refrigerator, your lights, whatever needs electricity. If you happen to be generating more electricity than you're using, then that electricity is sent out to the grid. In Pennsylvania, you get credit for that electricity that's sent to the grid. When you need more electricity than you're using, then you pull electricity from the grid.
Just like we do now if we don't have solar
exactly.
panels.
Okay. And so that's what our net metering rules are about. They are the rules that say how we get credit and how that exchange works between our systems and the grid. So that's the basics of how they work. So when we talk about who a system a good fit for this kind of system, first of all, your property needs to be appropriate. So you need a south-facing roof or an unshaded part of your yard where you can physically fit the installation and then have access to the sun. And if you use electricity and if you have that kind of setup, then you are a good candidate for solar. That's the beginning and end of it, because it really, from a financial point of view, it's a very sound investment.
Okay, so I might have needed a south-facing roof, which I don't have, but I do have a south-facing yard.
Okay, we can talk.
we'll talk more about this. Folks, this is going to be an interesting subject. You stay tuned, because we're going to find out more about how you can make this happen even for you. It's not something that it's just the big corporations that you see when you drive by and you see those big solar panels in their fields next to their businesses. It's for individuals as well. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Okay, welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about renewable energy this evening and how it can help you, help the environment, help you financially. I have a panel in the studio with me this evening. I have Dr. Vera Cole from the Mid-Atlantic Renewable Energy Association. I have Paul and Marie North. Paul is an engineer. I apologize, Paul. I don't have that handy for me. And I have Marie, who is a certified sustainable building advisor. All very well qualified people and users of renewable energy. And Neil Heaver, our operations director, who's in the studio with us this evening, just mentioned that we have 130 panels up on the roof, 138 panels here at the station at the Wells Fargo building. So this is doable for businesses and it's doable for individuals. So Dr. Cole, can you talk a little bit more? We were just talking about kind of the mechanics of it. What else is important for us to say tonight about solar? And we're going to talk about geothermal as we go through the show as well. So if folks have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can give your question to Judy Ann. She can bring it into us, or you can choose to talk live on air, which Paul did when he called as a listener several months ago, and we decided to do this topic. So, Dr. Cole, can you give our listeners a little bit, what's the incentive for them? Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Well, I like to start with the incentive of the advantages for the environment, that when you use solar energy, there are no emissions whatsoever. And so that's the starting point, and those can be readily quantified, but I won't put us all through that right now. Mm-hmm. But also there is also the financial considerations, and they're good. So the way it generally works when you purchase a solar electric system is you purchase it initially, and then the modules are warrantied for 25 years. People don't often realize the life of these systems, and there's very little, if any, planned maintenance during the entire during that life. So once a system is installed, it just sits there and generates electricity.
You don't have to climb up on the roof and wash off the panels?
You really don't, not in mm-hmm. this environment. You know, we have enough rain and snow that it slides off and cleans them off. It's reasonable to expect possibly to replace the inverter once in the life of a system. So taking those things into consideration, you can almost look at it as pre-purchasing electricity because you're buying it all up front, electricity that you're going to get for 25 years. We also have enough historical weather data to very accurately estimate over time the amount of electricity that system will generate. So you can put those two numbers together and calculate the cost, the price of your solar electricity. So using standard numbers for the cost of the installation, it usually works out to less than 10 cents a kilowatt hour. So the question when you think about making this investment is, do I want to buy 25 years worth of electricity now at less than 10 cents a kilowatt hour? And that's really the payback question. And that's not any crazy assumptions. That's zero assumptions. That's your known cost and your known mm-hmm. amount of electricity is going to generate. But then if you want to start to talk about payback and those kind of things, then you do have to start making assumptions about what is the future cost of electricity going to be, because that really what drives how quickly you pay off your system. But no matter how you look at it, there's going to be, at some point, you will recover your initial investment, and then there'll be years and years and years of free electricity after that.
Wow. And then with the additional electricity that may be generated in a given day that you didn't use for yourself, you said it goes back to the grid. And are there credits there? You mentioned something about credits.
That's a different type of credit, but that's a terrific question. That again is our net metering policy in Pennsylvania. So if you use a they call them EDCs, the big utility companies, the PP&L, PECOs, those kind of MedEds, then the net metering requires that your excess generation each month gets carried over, and they kind of have like a running credit for you, a running mm-hmm. tab, and then whatever excess you have, you use the following month. And okay. so they kind of it's kind of like having electricity in the bank. And then after the end of a full calendar year, if you still have excess generation, then you get some compensation for it. But that's not usually the desired outcome. You want to manage size your system appropriately.
Okay. You have mentioned MAREA, M-A-R-E-A, which stands for?
The Mid-Atlantic Renewable Energy Association.
Yeah. Talk about that for a minute. There's a video available for
that's
people
right.
to watch.
That's right. We have, if anyone would like to visit our website, it's www.themarea.org. And we have a section there called Thinking About Going Solar. And we have a number of resources there, including an online calculator. And again, this is from a nonprofit group, so we're not trying to sell anything except hoping that our people will make a good decision, a responsible decision. So there's an online calculator there. There's a video about distributed generation that includes, you know, battery backup systems, and a number of other presentations and resources for finding an installer and things like that.
Can you give me that website again, because just a little slower?
Sure. It's www.themarea.
The, like T-H-E?
Uh-huh.
M-A-R-E-A.
.org.
.org.
Thank you.
So a video about going solar is there.
Yes, it's a video about distributed generation, battery okay. backed up systems.
Okay.
And then there's information about going solar.
Okay. All right. Now, Marie and Paul, you guys went solar. We also did geothermal, and I want to talk about geothermal, but let's maybe push geothermal to the next half. So what was the incentive for you to go solar? And that may have been after your geothermal, so I apologize. I'm going to kind of push that forward. Mm-hmm. So what was the impetus to go solar? I mean, you said, I loved your quote at the beginning, sorry, which you stole from somebody, which was fine. You gave them credit, which money doesn't come from trees, it falls from the sky. So, or something like that. So what was the incentive to go solar?
Primarily, it's something we always wanted to do. And where we're at, we're subject to fairly frequent power outages. We're at the far end of one of PPL's lines, and it's disruptive. And so a combination of factors said it's probably time to do this, as well as the economic benefits.
Wait a minute. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute. So this lets you have power when the power goes out?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to understand the mechanics of this.
This is an important point. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's certainly a system. Maria and one of their officers has done a lot to promote the system, a guy by the name of Bill Hennessy, and that's, you know, who we used. But in addition to the normal solar panels and the inverter that Vera mentioned, we also have a controller and a battery backup system that is enough to carry us for about 3 days on a reduced energy budget, limited. And Marie can address, you know, the equipment that we have and how it's worked.
Okay. Well, when we come back from our next break, I'm going to have Marie explain that, because I'm very interested in this. Being from Michigan, and everybody loses power. And, you know, unless you have generators, so this is almost like a backup. In lieu of a generator, you could have something like this to kind of get you through that. Very interesting. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. We're talking about solar panels systems and using geothermal systems as well as part of a renewable energy effort, which is good for the environment and good for your pocketbook as well. Because as Paul said, and I'll cite the quote later, money doesn't grow on trees, it comes from the sky. So if you have questions, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Okay, and we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about renewable energy this evening, and I have in the studio with me Dr. Vera Cole, president of the Mid-Atlantic Renewable Energy Association, or MAREA, and their website is themarea.org. And I also have in the studio with me this evening Paul North, who has a degree in civil engineering, and his wife, Marie North, who is a certified sustainable building advisor. And we're talking about renewable energy. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about the environmental benefits of renewable energy and also the financial benefits. We've mentioned that there are cost savings in implementing some of these systems, not only on your monthly utility bills, but also available federal tax credits that still exist. There are still federal tax credits for solar installations and geothermal installations, which are 30% of the cost, unlimited cap, believe that, you know, unlimited 30% of your expense, and that's through 2016. So it is great for you to be listening to learn more about this tonight. If you're interested in you know, finding more information about that, we're going to talk about some resources for you. I want to talk a little bit more about the solar panels that the Norths have installed and how that works with the energy storage. And Paul had mentioned that with a battery backup, you actually may have access to days of power when your power is otherwise out. And we're used to people talking about having a generator, and this could be another payback that we're talking about, because generators, depending on how someone installs or what they install, it could be quite excessive in cost. I've thousands of dollars sometimes. So let's talk for a minute, Marie, about the solar panels and system that you have, and exactly right. Maybe a little bit more clarification on how that works.
Right. Okay. First of all, I'd like to start out by saying that our house was designed with the idea that eventually we would install solar PVs on the roof. So we have the right slope, and our house is sited the correct way to go back to what Vera said about, are you facing in the right direction? Are you facing south? This type of thing. Mm-hmm. So we knew we were going to do it. When we started losing power more often than we thought we would at this location, and also after Superstorm Sandy and the October ice storm, mm-hmm. we thought, this is crazy. People all around us are losing power. We were without power. We need to think about this now. And we knew that there was a battery backup system available that could be installed along with the solar PVs. So we have 14 solar PV panels on our roof and a battery bank in our basement, 8 batteries. When the sun is out, the PVs charge those batteries, and once those batteries are charged, that's it. They're holding that power until we lose power. And when we lose power, those batteries kick in. And we had an opportunity within a month after our panels were installed where we did lose power, and the switch was instantaneous. Paul was on a computer, and they're sensitive, as we well know, to the loss of power.
Right.
He never even knew it happened. I was watching television, and the television wasn't plugged into the outlet that would have serviced it with the batteries, so the television went off. And if I hadn't been watching television, I might not have known it for a while. So it is a seamless operation, and we have 3 days worth of power in those batteries. And if we draw it down and then say in a day or two we get sunshine back again, it has the opportunity to fill those batteries back up. Okay, maybe we're going to be a few more days without power. Okay, let's draw it down. We have what is called an essentials that are tied to this system, meaning our refrigerator, well pump, septic pump, the septic pump, our microwave.
The computer.
The computer. things that we felt, certain lights, things that we felt we needed or that would make life more comfortable for us when we were without power. Those are the things. It's not the whole house tied right. to this system.
That's great to know. We do have a call from New Jersey. Dave. Dave, can you hear us?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi. Can you? What's your question for us tonight?
Okay. I was wondering what the, for a 1,600 square foot footprint mm-hmm. of a house, what's the area of collector that would make it, you know, to make it economically viable mm-hmm. to install solar? The house is more or less east and west. It's probably a little bit northwest, southeast, mm-hmm. but it doesn't get, so the south-facing roof doesn't get, you know, all day sun.
Right.
So it's a small house, 1,600 square feet. Mm-hmm. It's got a master bedroom upstairs of maybe, I don't know, maybe 200 square feet. So it's small. Right now, right. I heat it fine with the wood stove. But just for, like you say, you know, you're talking about power outages.
So is there
any kind of rule of thumb where, you know, if you have a house this big, you need, you know, X amount of square feet of collector?
Okay, let's see what Dr. Cole has to say.
I appreciate that question. The relationship to determine the size of a system or the size of a solar array that you would need is not really driven by the square footage of your house as much as it's driven by your electricity consumption. And okay. So you can look at your utility bill and see what your annual consumption is, and that would be
right.
measured in kilowatt hours.
Right.
From there, we can a good rule of thumb is that each installed kilowatt of solar panels, each solar panel will have a rating of in wattage, like maybe 250 watts or something along those lines.
Okay, no, I understand electricity a little bit.
Okay, so if for each installed kilowatt of array power, you're going to generate about 1,200 kilowatt hours per year. So that will tell you how many modules you need, or how many kilowatts you need, if you wanted to think of it that way. And then each kilowatt is going to require about 75 square feet of area on your roof or in your yard.
Okay.
So Dave, if your roof is facing the right way, you could also look at the yard as an opportunity
that's
to put
right.
a panel.
And there are trade-offs.
I don't have room in the yard. Okay. I don't have room in the yard.
It doesn't have to be exactly south-facing. That's ideal.
No, I know. And who is? You know,
right,
exactly.
right. Very few. And the hours of day that matter most are between 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
We had mentioned the website before, themaraya.org. On that site, there are some resources that would give you more detail for some of those factors I was just sharing.
What was that calculator called?
I was going to write that down.
Okay.
And what was that website again?
It's www.themaraya.org.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
On there, you'll find a calculator called Sunny Money that allows you to input data, and it will help you with some of these very questions about the size of the system and the amount of electricity you can expect it to generate.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Are those battery backup, is that they're like the deep cycle marine batteries or something, or what are they?
It depends, and they're specially selected based on the characteristics of each installation and your intended cycling and those kind of things.
But they're regular lead acid batteries?
Typically, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. Take care.
All right.
We had another call come in off air. So, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We certainly have a great panel tonight to answer these questions. I appreciate Dave calling, and I also appreciate John calling from Palmer. He sent in his question, which is, if you put solar panels on an older roof, do you need to replace the roof first? That's a great question.
It is, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
Well, generally, I don't mean to make light of that. It's an important question because we talked about the life of the modules. The warranty is 25 years, so they're going to be there for decades.
Okay.
And so if you need to do roof work after they're installed, then you're going to have to remove the system so that you can work on the roof. So it's definitely better to do it ahead of time. And you can make a case, too, that having the solar on top of the roof actually does extend the life of the roof once it's done. It protects the roof. It's not quite as exposed.
That's interesting.
And I think I would add to that, and maybe Paul can add a little bit to it, is, I think John's question was about the joists. Is that correct? Is that what he said?
No, he just said if you put solar on an older roof, do you need to replace
the roof first? Okay, so he was just talking about shingles and that type
right.
of thing. Because I know we had a structural engineer take a look at our house just to make sure, and I think it might have been a requirement of our township, just to make sure that our roof was capable of holding the additional weight in addition to snow and this type of thing from the panels. So
I want to talk about geothermal, move to geothermal, but if I could quickly get from one of you, we've talked about doing this and, oh, the prices have come down for solar panels. How does someone find out who would be the distributor of that in the Lehigh Valley? Is there a distributor in the Lehigh Valley? Who do we call if I want to, hey, George, I want solar panels? Now, we were going to have Eric McVicker on from EM Mechanical, but does he install solar panels or does he just do the geothermal? He was an HVAC guy originally and then moved toward geothermal. But if we want solar panels, are there resources available on the Marea website?
There are, and there's some guidance about how to find what you want to start with is an installer. You want to find an installer, and then the installer will help you with the design that's appropriate for your system, help you size things, and then give you cost, and you may want to talk to more than one installer. And there's a recommended source that does certification, NABCEP certification for installers, that gives you, the consumer, some confidence that they're working with a highly qualified installer.
Okay, because it's more than just the panels. It's actually because, Marie, you had mentioned there's like certain outlets that systems would have, you know, that your essentials would have to be plugged in. So whoever's going to install these solar panels is also installing the battery pack, the outlets and things
the
like
electric,
that.
Okay.
I want to add one comment to that. When we've talked about during power outages, if you don't have battery backup, if you just have the straightforward system that I designed, that I described earlier, those systems do not work at all during a power outage. And that's part of the safety code, because you don't want to inadvertently be sending you don't want the utility workers, line workers, to be working on lines that you think are dead and having solar accidentally send power out to them. So the inverters immediately switch off when the power goes out. But if you have battery backup, then you do have solar during an outage. And that's an important aspect of that. And then as far as the battery backup is concerned, you can either install it at the time that you install your solar system, or you can do it as a retrofit after the fact. Either way is fine.
Okay. And I believe, folks, if people who are interested in the federal tax credits, if you already have some system that you're, you know, enhancing, upgrading, whatever, those additional enhancements, I believe, qualify for the tax credit as well. So I had someone who added some additional resources on their system, and it still qualified. Paul, can you tell us quickly the geothermal? What was your incentive to switch to geothermal?
Plain and simple economics.
Again,
when we built the new house, we solicited proposals and compared them from several contractors, installers, and we came to realize that essentially, and this is true of almost any house, the core components are the same regardless of the source of heating and cooling. It's the ductwork, the controls. There's some kind of box in the basement that makes the hot or cold. And the difference is what powers that box in the basement and where that comes from. Fossil fuels will use oil, gas, or electric. An air heat pump will use the outside air. The ground source heat pump or geothermal uses the ground. And that is the only real difference in the cost and the operation of the system, is that you have basically a ground loop. There's several variations, but it's a tube of some sort in the ground that draws the heat from the ground in the winter and uses the coolness of the earth to cool your house in the summer.
But you can have, I have to go to my next break, but you can have both systems in your home. You're going to have maybe oil and geothermal. You use both, or it's just geothermal?
For us, it's just geothermal.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, I want to talk more about that when we come back. Folks, if you have questions, there's still plenty of time. 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Back in a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and that's just what we're talking about tonight. Choices. Choices in your energy consumption, your environmental decisions. And we have a panel tonight with us, Dr. Vera Cole, Paul North, an engineer, and Marie North, who is a certified sustainable building advisor. We're talking about using solar energy and geothermal. We've talked about websites with information, and one of the websites available is The Marea, that's THEMAREA.org. I think we'll probably have a couple other websites to share with you this evening. I know EnergyStar.gov, which is a government website, has lots of information about the qualifications for the tax credits, what kind of systems qualify, and what those credits are. We want to make sure if you are installing a geothermal system or solar panels or solar water heater that you get the tax credits that you're entitled to, and it's 30% of the cost and with no limit, and it's good through 2016, so we want to make sure you're aware of that. We love bringing this awareness to our listeners. That's why I love WDIY. You're such an informed audience, and because I'm already learning a lot of new things about this, and what's wonderful for me is when I have clients who ask about these tax credits and they want to know, oh, what about this geothermal? The more I know, the more I'll be able to share with them. So we talked a little bit about the solar panels already. That was very interesting. Let's talk about geothermal. And Marie and Paul installed a geothermal system. Can we talk about that for a minute? Because you had a new building, a new home, and so you just did it right from the start, and it's just the geothermal system. So some people might think, wait, how does that work? If it's environmental, does it only work when, you know, how does that work? You said the heat from the earth and everything. Do you see any difference from what you've been used to with your electric life?
A huge difference in that the monthly costs are way less than people sometimes get distracted by the quote sexy tax credits kind of thing. But for me, the fundamental thing is the operating cost. The month to month costs with the geothermal are way less than any alternative. Our house is all electric, so it's easy to measure that kind of thing. And I've got the figures and to prove it. And our heating bills, what it costs to heat that house over a typical winter, range between $400 and $800, and to cool it in the summer ranges between $50 and $150.
You're talking about for the season.
For the season.
Okay. Folks, hear that. For the season. I think I just mentioned my electric bill was $300 for the month. We have a call on line one. We have John from Palmer Township. John, how can we help you?
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm actually wanted to ask a question, and I don't know if you're going to actually deal with it.
We can try.
About passive solar heat.
Okay. You know, someone can answer that, not me.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But no, I think Marie said she can answer
well,
it.
Well, I can take a stab at that for you, John. Our house is also a passive solar home.
Right.
And passive solar heat. I want to make sure I'm clear in my answer to you. Our house has 4 inches of concrete in our living room and dining room and 2 inches of insulation underneath that concrete.
Right.
That's the floor. On top of the concrete is Pennsylvania bluestone, which is about an inch thick. And we have a bank of south-facing doors. So in the winter, when the sun is lower, that sun is coming in and heating up that floor. Mm. It keeps the rooms from becoming almost like, I don't want to say greenhouse because there's not a lot of moisture, but without that floor to absorb all of that heat that's coming in,
the rooms would get very, very warm, and people experience that in an ordinary home. They're going to experience that heat. They're going to, it's going to be great for them, but they also find that sometimes those rooms get too hot. In our case, it absorbs it. The floor helps to absorb that heat, and then later on in the day starts to release some of that heat into the room. So can you talk about it? I'm hoping that answered your question. I think your question was, can you talk a little bit more about that? That
right.
would be my answer to you.
Did that help, John?
Yes, that helps. The big thing is there's a lot of different ideas, techniques on doing that.
Yes.
I have an existing house, and and I'd like to... is there anybody in the valley here that does or that's knowledgeable in that area?
With passive solar, you have an existing home.
Right.
So you want to...
add, you know, in other words, put there's different things you can do, like put like a glass front with, a stone like you have. There's other... from what I understand, you can use containers with water in them, let the
right.
water heat up.
No, right.
There's a number of different ways, but I'd like to see a number of different things and try to talk to somebody about maybe doing something like that to my home.
John, Marie has a website that maybe you could contact her off air, and she could give you
right.
some more information. Marie, what's
good.
Your website?
Yeah, and take a look at that website, John, before you call. And that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you, or feel free to call, feel free
right.
to email, but look it over. And that website is www.translatingsustainable.com.
No, I can't spell.
So translating.
T-R-A-N-S-L-A-T-I-N-G.
Sustainable. SUSTAINABLE.com. TranslatingSustainable.com.
Okay.
And there's
okay.
also photos there too, John. A number of photos. A slideshow.
Okay.
You'll see that. You'll see what the passive floor looks like.
Right.
Okay. So great. Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it.
Okay. And thank you for the information.
Okay.
Thank
great.
You.
Great.
Bye.
Have a good night. Bye. So we've just, we could probably just keep talking and talking, which is why it's good that people have these resources like themaria.org and translatingsustainability.com. So as far as the geothermal, so you guys installed the geothermal. Now, Dr. Cole, I don't know if the Marea website has information about the geothermal
not directly
systems.
No,
okay,
not too
more
much
about
there.
The solar
mm-hmm.
so
well,
as far as the geothermal systems, people, you installed with a new building, but people can also install geothermal in an existing home if they want to. Now, that might be a more expensive endeavor, I would imagine. So if people are going into new construction, building their first home maybe, or a new home, whatever, that would be a great opportunity to have someone come in and talk to them about possibly installing a geothermal system.
Exactly.
That's a great time to do that. But people who have existing homes who may want to do it, because I've had clients who've done it,
mm-hmm.
right. It might be a little bit more expensive, I'm thinking, but it's doable.
That's correct. It's it depends very much on the specifics of each case. One thing I need to say is that the geothermal, although it may be new to many people, it's a mature science. The equipment was invented in the 1940s and became perfected in the 1980s. And now there's not only an air system, which is what we have, but there's also water systems, which could drive like a baseboard heat kind of system, or somebody with an air handler kind of system. It's mature enough now it can be used in, you know, complicated situations as well. So that can easily be done, and what you need to do is contact a professional who's got the experience and the wherewithal to look at that.
And that information is, we can find some of those professionals in some of these websites, maybe resources and things like that. Question, my two-car garage below the living area has no concrete floor, just dirt. Is this a good candidate for geothermal?
If they're just heating, I guess it sounds like maybe they just want to heat the garage. Or if they want to use that as the source of the energy, the answer is no. You need to get below grade and have a fairly large area to heat a house. So that would be the answer. But the concept is sound.
Okay, great. We only have like 3 minutes left, so I want to give each of you 1 minute to kind of give us the biggest takeaways you'd like our listeners to walk away with tonight. Dr. Cole, can we start with you?
I hope that this opened the eyes to the idea that it's really very doable and very accessible. And as you just used the phrase mature, it's a very mature and proven technology in Pennsylvania that's working for thousands and thousands of homes and residents in the state right now. That's solar electricity. I also wanted to mention one more website that we've not talked about yet. And it's
looking
called,
for it.
DSIRE. Wait, I want to make sure I just had it up here.
It's DSIRE.
USA.org. Yep. Thank you. And this website is a database of renewable energy and energy efficiency incentives. And a complete description is super well organized for state and federal, and it gives you everything you need to know about incentives, rebates, tax credits for everything related to renewable energy and energy efficiency. And that website, again, it's one-stop shopping, is DSIREUSA.org.
USA.org. Okay, great. I love these kinds of websites. Paul, 1 minute.
Okay. Dr. Cole is too modest on the Marea website. Is a wonderful PowerPoint presentation she did in August entitled Solar Electricity for PA Homeowners. It's about 50 slides, well worthwhile. On the geothermal front, the go-to place is the International Ground Source Heat Pump Association at Oklahoma State University. They're the ones that train and certify installers, and those are the people that designers and installers, and those are the people that anyone interested in this ought to be contacting. That list is organized by state. Find somebody. There are several contractors in the area. Find one of them and talk to them about what you want to do.
And that resource, again, was international?
International Ground Source Heat Pump Association. It's the leading initials, IG. HPA.
Okay.
And at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Easy to find.
All right. And Marie?
Okay. I would say what I would like people to take away from this is, and I'll echo what Dr. Cole said, is that this technology has evolved to the point where many people can be asking these questions. They can be looking for PV installers. They can be talking to geothermal contractors who can install a system that will meet their needs. The important thing is do your homework, check references mm-hmm. when you invite an installer
right.
in, make sure
Good
you
point.
Check your references, and become knowledgeable. Think, do your research on the internet before you make these phone calls.
Can you mention this?
Going to mention a DVD that I found extremely helpful when we put in our battery backup system, trying to understand how that whole system works. And Maria did this video in conjunction with Bullfrog Films, which is a local film company, and it is called Saving Sunshine, Keeping the Lights On with Batteries and Solar Power. It is excellent for someone who is just thinking about this and is not sure even like how does this work, if it seems like magic to them. It is not magic, and this DVD is a great help, available through Bullfrog Films, available through Amazon, and I think believe Maria as well.
Thank mm-hmm. you all so much, very, very much, Dr. Cole, Paul North, Marie North. Thank you so much for coming on. This was great. And Paul, especially you for pushing this through as a listener of WDIY. Thank you, listeners, so much for calling in. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thank you, Neil, for being here. Next week, I have a very special guest, Jane Bryant Quinn. If you've heard of her, it's because she's the financial expert and writer for ARP Magazine, AARP. Jane Bryant Quinn will be with us next week. We're talking about retirement and the safe withdrawal rates. We will be discussing that. Mark your calendar. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A European spacecraft has made history by landing on the icy surface of a speeding comet hundreds of millions of miles from Earth. But NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reports from Berlin the landing did not go as smoothly as hoped after the lander may have bounced.
The bounce happened after harpoons that were supposed to anchor the lander failed to deploy properly. But officials at the mission control in Darmstadt say the glitch doesn't appear to have damaged the instruments on board.